Hello and welcome to Unit 5 in the course Reading and Writing for College Students. We're in the final section of this, talking about the process of building critical thinking. We've already looked at, we have structure to our thoughts. We have to be able to recognize the key thoughts when we're reading. And now we want to talk about how we build the logic, how we make a logical argument or begin to understand the author's logical argument that they're making in their writing. Every book is going to have some type of logical flow to it, from a novel to a newspaper article to a newspaper editorial to textbook to the Bible itself. There's always a logic to what everybody writes. But this logic is going to be built on points of view and assumptions that the author holds or you hold. Those points of view and assumptions are going to be built upon by ideas and concepts, theories, information, data, facts, experiences that are going to give answers to questions, solutions to problems and resolutions to issues, and are going to have far-reaching consequences and implications from that are not necessarily foreseen, but are going to be the logical end of where we started with our point of view and assumptions. And how all these things are connected is really the idea of logic. The connected thoughts that we have is how we connect thoughts, how the author connects thoughts, is actually logic. Everybody uses it. When you're right going down the road and you see a car that's passing you and suddenly cuts in front of you, you logically are going to put on the brakes because you think that car might hit you. When you are reading a literary work, you're going to see that the author is going to start with some point of view and assumption and then work from those to show how he believes that some result is going to happen, what some implication will occur. Now, we've been talking about this, but we really need to stress a little bit more that the author's logic is not necessarily going to be the reader's logic. For instance, there is going to be a background or a context to the understanding of something. I remember one time watching a Star Trek Next Generation series, and in it they were talking, the captain was marooned on a planet with one other person, and they both had universal translators that were supposed to translate any language from any being at any place. But the captain could not understand at all what the other alien was talking about. He checked his translator and that he kept in his ear, and that was working fine. And eventually it came out that this species of alien did not speak in terms of direct communication. They spoke in terms of allegory. And so to understand their allegory, you had to understand their culture and their history, their background. And eventually, in the course of this particular episode, the captain was able then to decipher by understanding more of that there was a background that had to be understood. There was more of that he was able to figure out what this alien was saying. This all goes to the point that in everything we read, there is going to be a background or a context to it. Sometimes the context is historical. Sometimes the context is going to be a cultural context. Sometimes it's going to be language. Sometimes it's going to be specific to a certain time. The way that we think in the modern age is not the way the people thought in the medieval ages. The Middle Ages is not the way the people thought in the ancient Roman Empire, is not the way the people thought in ancient Europe before the Roman Empire. So the same thing is true of cultures. The way that we think in America, or even North America or the West, is not going to be the same structure of thoughts as what those in China speak, or those in India, or those in the Middle East. They're going to have a different way of thinking because of the cultural differences. Even different racial groups in the United States have slightly different ways of thinking because of their differences in background and the cultures that have arisen from that background. Sometimes different customs are going to arise. And we find this often in the Bible and in ancient writings, that they'll be speaking of a custom and it's very foreign to us. But to them, it's completely normal. For instance, not in the Bible, but in Puritan times, before a couple would get married, they would put them in the same bed, but there was a board between them that they could not cross. Now, this was partly to be in the same, to save them. They didn't have enough beds for everybody. It was partly to make sure that the couple were connected emotionally and spiritually before they were connected physically. And when I first heard that, it was like, no, the Puritans, they were very pious people. They could not do that. But no, it's true, they did it. But they did it in a very controlled setting. So even though they were sleeping, the unmarried couple who was engaged was sleeping in the same bed, there were very, very few instances of people getting pregnant out of wedlock before that. So we have a difference in culture. Think about the difference in culture between a world today which is primarily monotheistic in its understanding, whether it's Christians or Jews or Muslims, the major religions of the world, versus a world in the Bible days when it was purely and almost entirely polytheistic in its understanding. There are differences that the customs bring out that we have to understand completely or better the author's logic, and that it's not necessarily our logic. Language is another one. When I was first learning Spanish, I came to understand that there are words that are very similar in Spanish to English that have the meanings are almost, and connotations are almost exactly the same. They are overlapping almost completely. There are other words that they overlap partly. So the basic meaning is still the same, but there are connotations or implications that are understood from that word that has the same root as an English word, all from the Latin, both the Spanish and English word being from the Latin. But the meanings have slightly diverged so that the core meaning is slightly different. And then there are other words that are completely different in meaning despite being from the same basic word in the Latin. There are other times when a language will have a concept that can be expressed in that language but is not expressed in another language. For instance, the Eskimos have multiple words for snow that we would have to use slushy snow and crystallized snow and hard snow and big snowflake snow. They have a word, from what I understand, that goes specifically for each type of snow that we do not have. There are I've heard of missionary stories where missionaries have gone to cultures that do not have a word for love, or their soul is not held in their heart. It's held in some other part of their body. And so when they start interpreting the Bible to translate the Bible, they have to be aware of these differences in language so that they don't convey the wrong meaning and give the wrong logic to what when they're translating the Bible so the natives can read the Bible in their own language for the first time. So when we're reading, the author's logic is not necessarily ours. The experiences also can just change. Of a person, for one person or another, are going to change logic as well. The level of education can do that. But we all know that there are differences in logic, and we have to recognize that and recognize it's okay to have that difference in logic. But we have to understand that it is there. So do I, as a reader, a college student, are we able to adapt and connect with the author's structure of thoughts, key thoughts? Are we able to adapt to their logic? Do I try to adapt my logic to the logic of the author so I can understand more where the author is coming from and what they're saying? Why? Why should we do that? Well, if we don't, we're not going to understand the true meaning of what that author was originally intending. And to understand, we have to understand the true meaning of the author, what they were intending, before we can begin to compare our logic and thoughts to what the author was saying. And then we can start to determine from the comparisons where we agree and disagree and why we agree and why we disagree. So when I try to adapt my logic to that of the author, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to understand how to interpret events from different perspectives or views. I'm trying to find sources of thought and information that are not simply those things that I get from the mass media, not the headlines that I see when I close my email account, or that I, the 2 or 3 minute usually a minute or two segments that I see on the news. I'm trying to figure out what is the logic behind the reason someone is reporting something, a news or an event, in such a way. I'm trying to identify where those viewpoints are coming from, the news stories. As we know today, our news is very much, there's two different sides. We have the very liberal side and the very conservative side. And oftentimes the truth comes somewhere in the middle, that the two sides are so shaded by their own political viewpoint that they sometimes miss the truth completely. And you have to listen to both sides and understand the logic of both sides to be able to really to reconstruct what the actual news stories was and the truth from that news stories. And often, so that has to come from listening from multiple perspectives. We need to understand their logic so we can see how clearly and accurate and relevant and the significance of news stories or other writings are. What are they? We have to assess something, we have to understand their logic. To identify the contradictions and inconsistencies in the news and other types of stories, we have to understand the logic. Understanding the logic is actually the first step to understanding what the contradictions and inconsistencies are in a story, oftentimes within the same story. How many times have you read something or looked at something on TV and realized that what they just said was contradictory to what they said before? We want to identify agendas and interests, like we talked about before with the story, news stories. There's pro-conservative and pro-liberal sides that are trying to spin a story to their own interests, but we have to understand the logic to begin to unravel what the spin is and what the truth is. In the end, all this is about trying to understand what the truth is, because only when the truth is made available are we able to trust in the writing or the facts of a story. to identify facts that have been covered up or ignored in a news story or other types of literature, and to identify points of view systematically presented in a favorable light all the time, or presented in an unfavorable light all the time by the author. We see this oftentimes, for instance, in the pro-life debate. If you are a pro-life person, you are always going to talk about pro-life issues in a very favorable light, and abortion in a very unfavorable light, which is how God views those things. On the other hand, the other side is going to try to do the opposite. The pro-abortion side is going to try to do the exact opposite. But to be able to begin to unravel what the truth is, we have to find the logic of the author. We have to ask ourselves, what's the view of the author? What's the assumptions? What is the flow as they go from one thought to the other? And what are the contradictions and inconsistencies in that flow? Where are they not clear enough or accurate enough or relevant enough to make the conclusions they're making? And how or where are they serving an agenda or an interest that is not necessarily the truth? So finally, what does this mean when we're thinking about the Word of God? As we've mentioned before, the Word of God is unique in situation. It is truly God-breathed. It is completely false. It is infallible and errant in all that it says and all that it reveals of God and the condition of humanity. So should my logic remain the same after I read the Scripture? Well, if my logic does not agree with the Scripture, we have to change it according to what the Scripture agrees with, what the Scripture says. Because the Bible tells us very clearly, all Scripture is inspired from God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that we as the servants of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If I find that what I believe about the world, about humanity, about God is contradictory or inconsistent with the logic of the Scripture and what the Scripture teaches, I, in my finite self, have only one response that can be done, and that is to submit to the infinite God. Now, I should mention here that there are different ways of looking at different thoughts through Scripture. For instance, the Arminian debate and the Calvinistic debate. Both camps have their logic of how they see the Scripture. Both camps are going to emphasize certain passages over other passages. Both camps are using the same form of logic, but coming to different conclusions because they emphasize different parts of the text. I'm not here to say which camp is better or worse. I believe in parts of both. However, we need to realize that this is a minor debate compared to the bigger debate of the meta-narrative of the Bible, that humans have fallen into sin, that we were beyond hope, and that God in his love and grace and mercy toward us sent Jesus Christ to redeem all who believe in him for all of eternity. So I thank you for staying tuned here. I hope we're learning as we go. And we will see you next time. God bless.